In this episode of the I Can't See You podcast, I talk to blind siblings Kerry and Brian Kajewski, who co-host a one-hour radio show in Canada talking about advocacy, accessibility, and equality. I also have a couple of updates to give you as well.
From Studio C, welcome to the I Can't See You podcast with David. He can't see, but he's got a lot to say and a face for radio.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 90 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for today's episode, and I've got a great one coming up. I've got Kerry and Brian Kajewski from Outlook on Radio Western up in Canada, and we'll talk to them in a couple of seconds. But before I get to that, I wanted to talk about a couple of other things real quickly. First of all, it's episode 90, and immediately when I saw it was episode 90, I thought, what happened in 1990? Liz and I got married, as I mentioned a couple of months ago. It was our 30th anniversary back on June 10th. So episode 90 is the I Love Liz episode. And I guess I am most thankful for her allowing me to wake up every morning over the last 30 plus years. So the I Love Liz episode, we'll start with a couple of updates before I get to Kerry and Brian. First one being from last week's episode, we are still looking for a golden retriever puppy for pickup in a month or two. We settle on our house coming up shortly, so it would be great if we could welcome a golden retriever puppy. We've got a new name in the mix, Elote, yes, like the Mexican corn, the street corn with the cheese and all the stuff on it. Let me know what you think of that, or if you have the lead on a golden retriever puppy, please reach out, icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com, icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. Remember, I can't see you sounds like a whole sentence, but it is only seven letters long. You could also reach out via the tip line, 646-926-6350, and you could also call that number if you have questions or comments or show ideas. Please reach out. And I have to apologize for my voice today. It is breaking like I'm 13 again, and I don't know why. But if you do leave a message on that line, please let me know if I can use your voice on an upcoming episode where I may answer your question or comment about your comments. I'd appreciate that. And that would be very cool for an upcoming episode. So please reach out. And another thing that I wanted to touch on, I had mentioned my weight briefly last week. I am down to 154 and change. I was 154.2, I think it was today. And over the time that I've been losing the weight, I have lost 19 pounds. That was from the end of February until now. And, you know, each month I lose between a pound and a half and 3 pounds. And as I lose more, obviously, each month I'm losing a little bit less. It was only about a pound and a half or so that I lost through August. And again, it fluctuates each day. I think my high and low in August was probably about 2 or 2.5 pounds difference in the 156 range to the 154 range. So, you know, again, the biggest thing that I'm doing is just basically keeping a food diary via a spreadsheet so I can see that I'm eating between 1,500 and 1,800 calories per day, 1,800 to maintain, 1,500 to lose. So just trying to stay in that range. I'm not being as crazy about it as I was back when I lost the 85 pounds. But I started to gain weight as I mentioned a couple of episodes ago when I was changing some medicine for my psoriatic arthritis. So I wanted to stop with the weight gain, get back to the mid or low 150s, and you know, hopefully it'll stay there. Now let's welcome in today's guests, Kerry and Brian Kajewski from Outlook, heard Mondays 11 a.m. to noon on Radio Western in Ontario, or later on podcasts from Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Kerry and Brian, thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Brian, why don't you start off? You seem to be the catalyst for the radio show. So why don't you tell us a little about yourself?
Okay, so as a kid growing up, I was always fascinated by radio. Music has been my main passion throughout life. So that's really what got me into radio in the first place. And my dream was to always host a music radio show where I could play lesser known artists that weren't in the mainstream that I thought deserved more attention, or just helping promote local music and just any music that really connected with me. So that was always my dream. And I finally pursued it after I graduated Fanshawe College here in London, Ontario, with a music industry arts diploma program. I went into the station here and they offered me a music show. So I was doing that since 2017. And then about a year into the show, the program director at the time noticed that Carrie here, my sister, and I had a podcast called Ketchup on Pancakes. And I guess she heard a few episodes of that and she said, "Hey, would you be interested in taking Ketchup on Pancakes on the air?" And I thought about it for a little bit, but then I kind of thought that was right after we had got introduced to the Canadian Federation of the Blind. Perhaps your listeners from the US would know the National Federation of the Blind, which the Canadian Federation is a sister organization with the same philosophies and everything. Okay. So we'd got involved with that back in 2017. So, you know, by the time this came up to put our podcast on the air, I thought, you know what, maybe it would be cool to actually do a live show and talk about more specifically to the Canadian Federation of the Blind philosophies and advocacy and all of that kind of stuff. So I presented that idea to the program director and she said she thought that would be great. So I had already had the experience doing my music show. So I knew how the console worked there at the station and kind of how to host a show. I kind of knew, although doing a talk show is different. When I do a music show, I have, you know, maybe a 4-minute mic break every 5 or 6 songs, but for the most part, I'm playing a lot of music. So it's totally different when you're on the spot doing a talk show, but I at least had that experience and I had the in there. So yeah, kind of grew from there.
Okay. And I just have to ask, you know, I love alternative rock. Is the stuff you like in that genre a little less, little more? What types, name a couple of bands that, you know, maybe I've heard of.
Yeah, it is tough because there's so many bands out there. I mean, I guess alternative is probably the best way to describe the music I like. Okay. One of my favorite bands is called Tortoise. They're from Chicago and they've been around since the early 90s and they're still at it. Okay. And you know, there's so many bands. It's honestly hard to know where to start.
Tell them how many songs you have on your...
Yeah, I have... Everyone's fascinated. I'm adding all of my music. Well, I'm going through Apple Music and adding stuff from there, plus stuff that's not available on there that I've downloaded in the past. And I have 73,000 songs in my library right now. So I'm always discovering new music. And often there's been a lot of discussion and studies about once you turn 30 that most people don't discover new music because of life and just people often connect with it early in life. Whereas for me, you know, I'm going to be discovering music forever, I think. So it's always a passion of mine. And it's finding all of these bands around the world. There's a great new band from New Zealand called Wax Chattels. There's just millions of amazing bands out there that don't get enough attention. But I would say generally more experimental, indie sort of music. Okay. Some of it's referred to as more different time signatures. And I don't know how to explain it. Music for me, I have to hear it. I'm not good at explaining it.
Gotcha. No, that's, and that's, yeah, I don't want to get too much off onto the music thing, but that you know, you talk about, you know, once you're 30, you really don't discover new music. That's the, I seem to love new music more so than listening to the same stuff over and over and over again. And
classic rock.
And right. Like, and don't get me wrong. I like classic rock and whatnot, but, you know, for example, I listen a lot to, Alt Nation on Sirius XM, and they recently in the last 6 months came out with Alt Nation Discovery. So it's newer music, and some of the bands are, you know that you might hear a song on there that, you know, no one's ever heard of. Most of the, even the, you know, decent size alt bands that I like, you know, my friends, who's that, what is that, you know, and and you know, it's just kind of interesting that you know, that it's gone that way where like you said, most folks don't do that as they get older. All right. So we don't take too much time away from Carrie. Carrie, why don't you tell us a little about yourself and whose idea was Ketchup on Pancakes? And does one of you guys actually like ketchup on pancakes?
Yeah. So again, we're still trying to figure out how to market ourselves, and it's sort of evolved as you see. It started because a lot of podcasts were popping up. And I've always been interested in audio. Both of us have growing up. You know, we always had tape recorders around as kids, and we even made our own radio show once.
Okay.
So I heard about podcasts going on and I wanted to have one, but I figured I could come up with content. I'm a writer. I've been a freelance writer for a couple of years now. And I am also involved in advocacy with the Canadian Federation of the Blind. I'm an assistant editor for the Blind Canadian, which is the magazine that we have that we put out once or twice a year.
Okay.
So yeah, I do that and I do blogging and stuff, but I wanted to do more of this sort of audio stuff. And, cause I think that can reach people differently than the printed word, which I love. So I suggested Brian that we could team up, cause we've always been pretty good team creatively, I think.
Okay.
And so I thought we could team up and make a podcast because I could come up with content and he had technical, you know, I wasn't sure how I could make my own podcast. I know there's more and more do-it-yourself programs available, but at the time I was like, that was holding me back from attempting it. Okay. So when he agreed one summer there, 2016, I think it was, we wanted to come up with an original name. So we kept thinking on it and we recorded our first trial episode here in his apartment.
Okay.
And he's always made it sound so good, these productions. So we sort of came on the idea of that because ketchup on pancakes is an old family sort of recipe. My grandparents were Czech and Polish, so it's I'm not sure exactly of the roots of it, but these are different pancakes than you're imagining. They're not the sweeter, fluffier ones. They're more like a crepe, like you know, there's salt and egg in it.
Okay.
So it's like ketchup on your eggs, like some people might do.
Gotcha.
So we wanted to give it a unique family title because our theme for that podcast is family, humor, and creativity.
Okay.
So it was based on our sibling relationship, which Outlook grew out of that, but it was also family oriented and a little more casual. So we wanted to do this more professional idea for Outlook.
Okay.
That might reach more people.
Right.
but Ketchup on Pancakes, I still love that name. Yeah, okay. I think it gets the attention grabbing maybe sometimes for the wrong reactions, but you know, but I think
it does, and I agree with you with that. You know, it it is different, and you know, you say syrup on pancakes, and people, that's every, you know, ketchup. Yep. On, I'm interested. Why, you know, I don't even know what it's about, and you'll we'll say, well, let me find out more.
I gotta know. It's not all about ketchup on pancakes.
Right,
it's not a cooking show.
So that's funny. And you know, it's funny that you mention about audio over you know, writing, because you know, that's one of the things for me. You know, now, you know, I notice sometimes when I'm typing, I have some trouble typing, you know, because of the psoriatic arthritis. And, you know, to talk, I'm standing here talking, you know, here in my office, and it's, you know, easy enough to do. And I've always, like you guys, I've always had that side of me. You know, when I was in high school, I did the sports on the high school TV show. And again, you know, this is back before the internet and before, you know, the cameras were little teeny tiny things. We had cameras that were donated from one of the local TV stations and stuff like that. So, you know, I love doing that. And I thought that one day I was going to be on radio or TV. And, you know, of course I wasn't. And I went into business and have run businesses. But that's always been my thing. I've always wanted to be on radio. And when podcasting, you know, became such an easy thing to do.
Much more accessible.
Yeah. It's just, you know, there's very little, you know, up, you know, again, as I was telling Brian before we started, you know, I basically have headphones with the microphone on it and, you know, I'm plugged into my computer, and I'd love, as I was saying to him, you know, I don't have anything that's tactile. So, you know, my levels are, you know, usually a little weird, and, you know, I can't adjust it exactly because I can't feel it and I can barely see it. So, you know, it just made so much sense to do a podcast. You know, and I love doing it like you guys do. And you know, it's very interesting how similar, you know, our beginnings were. You know, I just find that interesting. And as well as with the, you guys with the CFB and me with the NFB, you know, it's just amazing I can point out too, your show Outlook is very similar to what, you know, my goal is to show, you know, sighted people, hey, blind people can do more than what you think we can do. You know, we can have regular jobs, and we can, you know, go from, you know, in my case, you know, suburban Philadelphia to Orlando to an event, or to New York, or, you know, to Washington. It's, you know, is it a little more difficult? Does it take us a lot more time to do a lot of things? Of course, but, you know, we can still do it. And, you know, and I think that's what's important, to show people that, look, we can do it. And, you know, it's not, you know, not every blind person is amazing, because we can, you know, do what you do on your own.
Right.
So tell us about, Tell me about more about the CFB. I know that you guys are both involved, and I'm kind of curious. You are in your provincial affiliate. Do they have other within Ontario? Do they have smaller chapters, or is it just one one giant affiliate, if you will?
Well, that's our issue, is getting the wider population of Canada aware that we exist.
Okay.
Because we feel so small in this giant, vast country here. So we're in Ontario, but a lot of this, all this started out west.
Okay.
So on the west coast in British Columbia. So all of a sudden it just popped up here in Ontario because we got into it because of a friend of ours. I ended up going to guide dog school with him.
Okay.
In 98. Well, he got into advocacy the last several years, and he found the CFB.
Well, he was living in the United States briefly.
Yeah, so he got to.
Met someone there and was living there for a while. So he discovered the NFB through there, and then coming back to Canada, I'm not exactly sure how it stemmed from that, but he kind of did some research and found out that there was a version of that here in Canada called the CFB, which, you know, we were in our 30s, we hadn't even heard of it.
It's been around for 20 years, and we hadn't heard of it till years ago.
And again, it's out there, like we said, out west from British Columbia to Ontario is quite the distance. So
right.
It popped up with our friend Eric there, who got us into it and said, if you know, we want to make things better here in Canada, they're not, you know, quite where we want them, then this is how we could do it. And so that he found them, and then he connected us with them. And so we've all been working together ever since, kind of. But we did start an Ontario chapter, but, you know, like I said, it's been hard to get the rest of Canada to know. So it hasn't hit all the provinces by any means and territories here.
Okay.
And we're kind of in the process right now of hiring someone on to help incorporate and make this more so, like, set up properly, because
we're grassroots nonprofit here, but like you said, we're not all everywhere in Canada yet. And we need to take some steps to get there. But so we're still new in our first 20 years, but we're finding more and more people to hear about it, like we have, and getting involved, which is nice to see.
Right. And the one thing that I found when I joined, and I've only been a member for around 5 years or so, it's so refreshing. You know, any sighted person that you speak with, they just don't get what, you know, what is going on with us, what we can do, what we can't do, you know, and they don't have, you know, but when you walk in, for me, when I walk into my, the Keystone chapter, which is a chapter based in Philadelphia, you know, when I walk in there, everybody has a story that's, you know, similar. And, you know, this guy tried to help me, drag me across the street, and I didn't want to go. And I told him I was okay. Everybody has a similar story like that. And we all get it. It doesn't matter where we come from. Everybody that's blind gets that idea. And that's right. The beauty of, you know, the NFB, or in your case, the CFB, you know, everybody, you get it. And then the advocacy and everything else, you know, it's just something that, you know, some of the stuff is just crazy that it's set up a certain way. And, you know, I know that you guys had, in your most recent episode, you played that clip from, CTV about, you know, the buses or the bike lanes in Victoria. And I thought, oh my God, how dumb is that? How could they think about doing something like that? You know, when you have, so I'm guessing you have to cross the bike lane to get to the bus stop. And in my mind, I'm picturing this and I'm thinking, how would you know? You know, I never know when a bike is coming, you know, it's just like, you know, oh yeah, this sounds like a great idea. Everybody in the city will love it. Yeah, except for all the blind folks.
It just seems odd and
so obvious to us
in a lot of ways that the CFB here in Canada, which is just starting to grow, and we're really trying to build things here, that we're such a new organization that we're the ones that are taking on this such a thing that you would think every blind person should agree with. And that
right.
It's left to us, but that's just the way it goes sometimes.
This is a safety issue, but who realizes that it's happening until they encounter it, like these gentlemen out west did. And I thought that was a great piece the news had there.
And a lot of times it's just a passive sort of attitude that might partially be a cultural thing, which is sometimes why I wonder how well the Federation philosophy and stuff could translate here to Canada. And I just sometimes feel that people are, they're aware of things, but they're so used to the system, the way it's already been,
so passive,
with other organizations, where they're afraid, or they don't bother speaking up. And, you know, I'm guilty of that myself throughout growing up and stuff. So it's
because as long as we feel like we're alone on things, you know, then there nobody feels like nobody will listen, take you seriously.
Right. And that's, you know, I got myself prepared for this episode earlier this morning. I got an email from American Express, and I know we talked about accessibility in our emails, Carrie. You know, it was an email from Amex. And again, I when I use my computer, I kind of use, I don't want to say like it's a mix of audio and, you know, using the mouse to zoom way in and kind of see, like, get an idea of what it's about. And then if I want to read it, you know, maybe I'll highlight it and, you know, and hit the button. So I'll have it read to me. You know, I got an email from American Express, which I've, you know, tweeted to them about it. I've done feedback. They have a button on each email that says feedback about this email. And, you know, was this content helpful? I have no idea, because it just said display images or something like that. I had no idea what it was. And I know it was promotional, because when I get something that's important from American Express, I can, the machine, my computer will read it. You know, it'll,
there's some,
you know,
text.
You know, there's text there. It's right. Not all image based. You know, it's, hey, your payment's due on blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. When it's a promotional or it's like a fancier images and all this stuff to grab your attention compared to something that's just like straight up text. This is what you need to do kind of thing.
Right. And again, you know, you just, you know, an alt tag wouldn't kill them to say, hey, here's what the deal is in this. And you know, it just gets so frustrating to me that, you know, so many places are like that. And, you know, as the, in that piece where they were saying they're going to put an X or something on the ground, you know, again, who's, you know, if you can't see whether it's an X on the ground, an X in the air, an X on that.
But again, we don't want to be an afterthought.
Right.
If we're thought at all, it's an afterthought.
Right. Right. And that's, and you know, with everything going on with the pandemic, it just seems like, you know, a lot of things have gotten pushed out. Oh, some of the usual, things for kids at school aren't going to be available. And, you know, bank drive-thrus, I don't know about, you know, up your way, but around in this area, banks were only open for a while just via drive-thru. So if you're blind, you can't go through the drive-thru.
Yeah. I mean, it's like getting a COVID test, the same thing. How do we get there if somebody doesn't want to go with us and public transit doesn't want to take us? And
Someone could drive you and you could be sitting in the back, but that's not, and pull up the drive-thru, but that's not a solution because you're not doing it independently.
Again, we're afterthoughts. But
at least here, when the banks were closed, like the entrance was still open. I could go in and get to the machine at least. Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, and they, you know, and people were saying, well, you have to expect that not everything is going to be available to everyone. Yeah. And I'm like, well, if I need to go and get some money, and my wife is sighted, so it's not critical. So that's the, you know, so it's not like I'm getting an Uber and having to go over there where you don't know if the guy's, you know, got it or not. Or, you know, but it was just, you know, and the same thing with like the food drive-thrus, you know, same thing, you know, you had to go through the drive-thru and, you know, if somebody wanted to get Chick-fil-A or
Starbucks.
Or whatever, Starbucks, you know, you're out of luck. And, you know, and it's just interesting. And so many folks don't get that. And so it's when I was listening to some of your show and watching the video of the, you know, of the anniversary show last year, I thought, wow, I mean, again, we're on the same path trying to get folks who can see, hey, look, we can do stuff, but you gotta at least, you know, get us to the table when things start.
Consider us.
You know, like you said, you know, you can't be an afterthought. And, so as far as your blogging goes, Carrie, is the content you write, is it usually blindness related, or is it, you know, some other hobby or business type related?
Yeah. So my blog has grown over the years. I started it when I turned 30. I thought, you know, this is enough with this nonsense in my 20s. I got to make a change. I got to take a step and not be afraid to put my writing out there for any possible, you know, rejection or criticisms or people's reactions. You know, once it's out there, it's harder to control who's going to read it. But I got on there and have a WordPress blog.
Okay.
But I didn't make it strictly a blog about blindness. I know several bloggers, like how we got in touch, Max there,
right.
Who have blogs that are sort of, you know, themed for that. Mine is, as a writer, I didn't want to focus in on one thing. So I called it her headache, which is because I've had chronic headaches for all my most of my life now.
Okay.
And I think then I sort of translate that to life, that life was one beautiful, painful, fabulous headache of a right. thing. But anyway, it's sort of just umbrellas all my writing that I do. So I do some memoir.
Okay.
Some short stories. So I do fiction and nonfiction. Okay. But I do a lot of memoir, and then I started doing some travel writing. I worked with Expedia.
Okay.
And then I did some advocacy writing. So my blog is a bit of everything. I do music and movie reviews on there.
Okay.
I do interviews. I just share our podcast when it comes out.
Okay.
All these things. Just to, is another way to put myself out there for people to find me. And I've got opportunities, freelance work and stuff through it.
Okay. And with that, with the blog, do you, you said it's a WordPress blog. So is it something that's self-hosted or it's hosted by WordPress? So it's, I'm asking just to see if you do, you know, I do a lot of affiliate marketing.
It's the very basic blog. I couldn't start a blog on my own. I needed. So at the time I was dating somebody who was in IT. So he set it up for me.
Okay.
Which I know, as Max proves, you can, you know, do coding type things and make your own whatever, but I just never had the attention of doing it. So it's very basic blog. And so no, there's no affiliates or anything. I've thought about learning more about blogging and getting more into blogging, but I just use it as a host for my writing mostly. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, that's, it's funny about, Max talking about his first one and how he said, you know, Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder would have words about it. I've done web work since, probably the mid to late 90s. And it actually, for somebody that can't see, it was probably easier back then than it is now, because back then you could, you type in the code and, boom, there it is. Now everything, it's very visual based now. And I was telling a friend that, I'm setting up this website and I'm setting it up on a different host and I'm using some different things. And, you have to, using the screen reader to try and find what you have to, you have to click this button to do this and you have to check this box. And it just makes it, a little more difficult to get it done. Now, out of the box, it's, beautiful, almost instantaneous. But if you want to do some customization, it's an ordeal. So that's interesting. Brian, do you do any kind of blogging, or are you primarily on the audio side and creating music?
Yeah, pretty much on the audio side. I mean, I've definitely had more of an interest in the last few years with the CFB and advocacy on these topics. But still, generally speaking, the music show for me is the real passionate thing that I really put everything in. And the Outlook show for me is an amazing outlet to discuss this stuff. But yeah, I don't do a ton of actual writing.
Okay.
Per se.
Okay.
He and I have the same sort of voice. Okay. I always say we're 3 years apart. I'm 36, and so he's 33. And people think we're twins sometimes, but we can read each other's minds practically. We're that close. And so yeah, like I said, we work well creatively. And I'm really proud of the music that he produces, because he really does put his all into it, and music is so beautiful. And
right.
I'm glad that every time he works with me to make something sound beautiful.
Right. And that's, as a kid growing up, and this has been, probably my biggest issue, now that I have very little vision, when I was a kid and I was growing up, I loved sports and I still love sports to a degree. And I would go to games and I would go, to baseball and hockey and football. And I loved going. In fact, I had Flyer season tickets for a number of years until it got to the point where it was just pointless for me to go down, because I couldn't follow it enough to make it worth the price. I mean, my first year of tickets, the whole season was like $1,700. My last year, each game was like, $200 face value. I mean, it was just nuts, because everybody was moving into new buildings.
That's the thing I think about. It's like, I read a lot of people's testimonials on Facebook and all these groups, and people who are going newly blind as adults and things, or young adults, they're like, I love this, was something, what this was my passion, and now that I can't see, basically I have to, I experienced that as a kid. I loved color when I was low vision, and as I lost more sight to where I am now, color means nothing to me anymore, and I still miss it. So I had to pivot to something else. I needed to find another passion to take over. But it still does make me sad when I read, oh, I love you know, this job and this passion that I do, and now I can't do it anymore. There's, you know, there's usually a way you still could if given the right help.
Right.
And as for sports, I've always found, I was never into it really growing up, but about, I guess, 5 or 6 years ago, I decided, you know, I was getting a bit older and I can't always,
something to talk about,
I can't always be doing music and connect with my dad in some ways because he was always into sports. So I did take some time to try and get into it, and I never could quite get into hockey, just such fast action.
But, right.
I always found baseball is a really good one, just because on the radio they describe it so well.
And right.
It worked out well because our friend Eric that we were talking about earlier, who introduced us to the CFB, he would go to baseball games, and the radio signal is perfectly in time with the game. So we would go in with our radios, put in earbuds, and we would have full description of what was going on in the game. And then we're in the environment and we feel like we're fit in just like anyone else. And it is quite the experience to be able to still to do that. So.
Right. And that's, you know, and that's what I was getting to, you know, if you, the difference between watching on TV, and again, because I have a little bit of sight, I had a game on last night, and just the glare, you know, yeah, as I always say, I can't see much, but I see glare perfectly. And it just, you know, yeah, just is killer. You know, and I was just waiting, I guess, for the news to start last night at 11. So I had a game on, and, you know, I kind of had to sit there and listen to it, but look away from the screen because it was killing.
Yeah. Me. I don't even really look at the TV anymore. I used to be able to see, you know, like a soap opera, or like I used to watch The Simpsons with bright color. And
okay. Picture. Oh, right.
There was a lot I could see back in the day. I could see faces on a TV screen, and now it's just, there's no point even.
Where right. I could never, I've always had the same amount of vision since I was born, where I can see light and dark and a little bit of shadow, but not enough to,
I never saw detail on screen.
But that's the thing about the sport that I find is sometimes my dad will have the TV on and I'll hear a game, and you can still follow along kind of, but the radio is so much different because it's just the audio that they're trying to, they'll describe everything, right?
Whereas and anybody in a car might need that just as much as you being blind might need that.
Right, exactly. And that's, and I had, the Phillies were on the other night on ESPN, and the three announcers, I had no idea what was going on in the game. I knew that, you know, they were talking about all sorts of things, and every once in a while they went, oh yeah, that's a ball. And, right, you know, they go back to telling a story about, you know, how, you know, Alex Rodriguez did this or that or the other, you know, whenever. And, you know, so the pivot that I made, you know, I always have loved music. And, you know, like I said, when I was a kid, I thought, well, I'm going to be on the radio or TV. I could be a DJ. That would be fun, and play music. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know, music, I don't have to see. And, you know, so we started going to a lot more shows, and a couple of the radio stations here in Philadelphia have, you know, have these free shows each year. And, you know, obviously not now, nobody has anything, you know, other than drive-in ones that, you know, are just a little weird to me, but, you know, so I kind of moved more towards music, to the point where I thought, yeah, you know, maybe I could do like some sort of alternative rock podcast. But again, without being able to play the music, how much would people listen to just talking about bands and maybe interviewing bands and things like that? But yeah, it's just something that, you know, and everybody, as when I was getting mobility instruction, the girl who was training me said, you know, you're going to have a lot of trouble because you're a very visual person and you don't have much vision. And
I think I'm a visual person too. So it is, if that's how it is, I can imagine it's tricky.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, you mentioned you like colors, Carrie. I love, doing designing logos and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I still try, and it's just, it's almost dumb for me to try because it just takes, you know, I could go to Fiverr and probably get something in a couple of hours, where it might take me 8 hours to come up with a very basic thing. And it's just that part does, you know, like you say, it makes you sad.
Oh yeah. That could have been my internet. Something just cut out there, but I don't think it didn't affect.
Okay.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, no, as I was saying, like, we all just kind of got to get over it, I guess, and move on and find new passions if there is something we really can't do now.
Right.
But it makes me sad for others, and it still makes me sad for myself. You know, I have my days where I think I've, you know, dealt with it and put it behind me, you know, and that I'll always have that memory, but I worry that it'll fade even more over the years. But I'm so blessed that I ever got to see it. But yeah, it can make you sad.
Right. So as far as things, you know, I'd like to know, as far as like accessibility on things in Canada, you know, and I don't know if you even know how different they are from from the U.S. Do you have any ideas on, you know, how things go? Like when, for example, they started around here, I don't know, around 10 or 15 years ago, different chirping on traffic signals to let you know, hey, it's okay to go. And I still prefer to just listen to the traffic. And that's, you know, that's one of the issues that I've had on multiple occasions when I've been in Philadelphia, where a person will say, okay, it's clear, you can go. And I'm like, okay, but I don't think the lights change, because I know I hear a car still stopped over there. So I'm not, you know, I'm not comfortable. Oh, no, go ahead. It's okay. And now I'll wait. And so I don't know if things like that have happened, you know.
Well, that's the thing. We don't wait around for sighted people to help us get somewhere. That's the point of what we advocate with ourselves growing up blind and in CFB, that, you know, we need to help each other and help everyone be able to get around on their own, so they're not sitting and waiting for the next sighted person to come over and show them to a seat, or the next person to help them cross the street. And people, right, it gets really touchy, the conversation. We're trying to have it here in Canada. Really, we are. That's why we like to talk to sighted people on our show. Like, we just did an interview with a girl who, it was interesting for that talk, but we just like to talk about it with everybody, because we're trying to get them to realize that these things are happening. And it's, again, a lot of people, it feels like there's passiveness and there's a lack of connection, which I don't know what you attribute that to, Brian, but.
Yeah, again, I mean, I think like you talked about the automatic signals and stuff, they have been putting more and more of those in. And and I agree with what you're saying when you say that it's, the way I look at it, it's just a nice secondary assurance.
You need backups, options. It's right. Good.
I still definitely listen to the cars, my parallel to me, and see if there's any turning traffic, if it's an advanced green, they'd call it, or if it's totally safe to go. Like, I'm still focusing on the traffic. I don't want to just trust on something else. But it does give me that second, a little bit of confidence having that as well. But yeah, I agree. I think, like, overall, things are accessible on a whole. Like, they're not, and I'm also not the type to complain. I like to, I problem solve, and I'm, you know, I try not to complain that easily. But I do think a big part of it is that Canada is just such a big country, and obviously they have multiple organizations for the blind in the US as well. But I just think in Canada, the fact that our population is so much smaller as well, that we're just so spread out and we're not connecting in the way that we should be. And we have these organizations like the CNIB who are speaking for blind people, when really, I don't know what their beliefs are. There's a lot of sighted people in those organizations. I just think until we really all bind together as one and realize that we are all in this together, then things won't quite change to where they need to be. So that's the main reason.
We're basically a metaphor. We're always going to wait for someone sighted to come help us cross the street. We're trying to get out of that. We want to be able to work with the sighted community, obviously, in partnership, and, you know, to get things done in society. We believe in integration, really, but, you know, it's just, we have to start somewhere, I guess, but.
Right. And I think that's, you know, I pride myself on being independent, and I guess some people look at you and they say, "Oh, I'm going to help that guy whether he needs it or not."
It's a touchy conversation we've discovered to have this with sighted people. It's like with Black Lives Matter. It's all these issues. Like, as soon as you bring it to the other group of people, there can be some, you know, feeling of, you know, they don't want to.
Yeah, there are people who will say, "Oh, I was just trying to help," and it makes someone feel good to help, which isn't a bad thing, but. The problem is, and again, it depends on the people. Like, obviously, if it's a group of close friends that I've known for years and years, they don't look at me any differently. And it's, but society as a whole still has these overall stereotypes. And when we're always asking for help and we're always getting that from the public, those stereotypes just continue.
It's a pity stereotype. And it's that we, you know, I believe in independence and dependence, like interdependence. You know, it's, everybody depends on somebody for something. But when we do it, it's seen as charity or pity or. Right. You know, we don't want to wait for someone excited to help us do things like cross the street. We need to know how to do that by ourselves. But we also, if people want to help and that is a genuine reaching out to make connections and for them to know blind people in society, we really deserve to be asked for the help if we want the help. You know, we have some degree of consent in there.
Right, exactly. Nice. Not just grabbed and say, "Here we go, we're crossing the street."
Right, exactly. But it's harder than we realize to bring this up.
Right. And that's, and, you know, like you say, you know, if I need help, if I'm like wondering where I am and where I've got to go to get someplace, I'll ask. But, you know, if I'm not asking, you know, I'm good.
And we feel like we can't sort of what we say is structural discovery, is discover our surroundings, because somebody sighted looks at that and says, oh, that person is lost and I need to help them, and they're wandering aimlessly, and you know, they look at us and they can't get past that. It's like, right, when you hit something with your white cane and they're like, what, careful? And it's like, well, this is why we have the cane, thanks, we're fine, sorry, we tapped that thing, but it's, right, not that big a deal. But
yeah, or when you come up, when you come up to a set of stairs and they're, oh, like, would you like the elevator? No, it's all good, I need the,
no,
exercise.
Right. Need the elevator, and we sometimes use it, but we don't need it. No, we need to do the stairs without falling on our faces.
Right.
But
right,
and we try to put ourselves in the sighted perspective.
And it is a balance, because you don't want to offend people. Like, you don't want to become off too offensive or defensive or whatever it is. Where
you don't always want to be angry.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you're never going to get anywhere if you don't have the time to actually talk to someone and explain it to them. And you don't always have that time. You know, when I was living in Toronto there for a few years with my roommate, who is also Eric, who we've been talking about.
Okay.
You know, he was so independent every day, going out every single day. And if you're doing that every day, constantly, and there's constantly people grabbing you,
yeah, you know, you
eventually it is hard to always be respectful, and eventually, yeah, sometimes you do snap a little bit. So
everybody has, you know, we're in a mood that day, you happen to be going through something, and people grabbing at you the whole way you're trying to get somewhere is just not acceptable.
Right. And that's, and it is that balancing act that, you know, that folks, you know, yeah, you know, if you're late for something and you're rushing and you know where you're going, but somebody decides they want to help you, but then they're, you know, they're, grab my arm, at least they know.
Yeah, they throw you off.
Yeah, you know, yeah. I nothing more I like than when I'm walking down a city street and there's somebody walking in front of me that has, you know, heavy sounding boots or whatever that I could follow, and they're walking at the nice pace that I want. Nothing better than just following that person as long
so
as I can.
So distracting. You must keep it, your eyes, your ears out for other things.
Yeah.
You know your surroundings. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's a whole thing that goes into it that's hard to relay to people.
So as far as your show goes, I know that you, I saw on the video, and I'll link to the video and to your SoundCloud page in the show notes of this. As far as your show, you have guests. It seems like you have them maybe once or twice a month, it seems. And how do you go about looking for folks to get to come on your show?
Well, usually that's my job.
Okay.
As a writer, I'm sort of interested in all that sort of thing. I've done in literary interviews and things. I love to learn from other writers and make connections in that area too.
Okay.
So I've just discovered a lot of people in my time, and then so I've gotten more, I got it more into the advocacy side of things, and I just started following. Facebook was a big one. I started following everybody on Facebook, all their public pages, to see what people were saying in the US and around the world and in Canada, my own country, and got to know different people from with different disabilities. And yeah, so there's endless topics to talk about, I think. But I just started, you know, reaching out to people and, you know, saying we have this show. And, you know, like I said before, doing cross work with each other, sometimes they help us out and then we help them and you learn from each other. And so I've just been reaching out to people and sort of not being afraid to maybe get a no, because you will never get a yes if you don't try.
Right. Exactly.
And we've really been trying to get a mix of guests who are blind and guests who aren't blind, that still are, you know, helping.
Have
out.
Something to contribute,
yeah,
on the topic
to
we may be talking
about.
Interesting story.
Right.
Yeah.
And I've found too with COVID here, we never quite had the phone systems set up in the studio properly to take calls. We did do one, our first interview over the
two.
Phone.
We've done
two. We did two. That's right. And we had, the first one went a little bit better. The second one took a while to get set up, but since we've been doing this virtually from home, I've just been using my phone with FaceTime or Facebook Messenger or whatever it may be. And it's a lot easier, I've found, so last few months we've really picked up on the interviews.
Well, like we said, we miss being in studio, but it is a different situation. But this is the thing, that a lot of things have been revealed, you know, ableism and all these things since the pandemic, but also things have been revealed and things have gotten easier. Like, I don't have to go to all my doctor appointments in person now, other than a few that need to see me, you know, in office. Most of them can just do a report over the phone. And, you know, again, that's not good to lean on that. It is good to be independent and be able to go out and travel when you need to get somewhere. But the pandemic has really brought everything to us even more than the internet and sort of things have done the last couple of years, and making podcasting so accessible, yeah, for us and everybody.
Right. And that's it. You know, talking about the pandemic, my life hasn't really changed much. I'm still sitting at home all the time and
you
know, working from my office. But, you know, now I've got, you know, a couple extra folks here with me. And,
right.
And, you know, that part has been the you know, what might throw me off of, you know, my normal schedule. So yeah, that's, I know that you had, and I haven't had her on my show yet. She was at one of our NFB meetings, the Blind History Lady, which, you know, subscribing to her emails, you know, just some of the stuff that she talks about.
I just did that today.
It's just amazing. Some of the things, that I want to get her on after, you know, she was on, she was at one of our meetings, I want to say probably 4 or 5 months ago. And, just so many interesting things that she has to talk about. So, you know, again, this, the goal, like, of your show and the same as mine, you know, look, blind folks can run for office. Not that I'm going to run for office.
Me neither.
We still don't have our own, everyone has their own skill sets and interests, but right. as a whole group of everyone, it's a diverse.
We're definitely not the first blind people doing radio shows in podcasts, but that doesn't mean that our shows have any less value. We have just as much to contribute, and we deserve the more voices, the better on these things.
Exactly. And so with your show, is it streamed live on the internet?
Yeah, it is actually. It's from the University Station, which is pretty close to where I live here in London.
Okay.
Radio Western. So radiowestern.ca/stream is the stream address. And it airs Mondays at 11 a.m. It's in and around that time. Lately, it's been kind of confusing because they've been programming everything remotely. So sometimes if one show goes too long or too short, it gets, sometimes we'll tune in at 11. It's like, shoot, our show's been on for 20 minutes. We'll just tune in at 11. So, but at least we have it as a podcast as well. So we don't catch it live. But for me, I still love that live. I mean, it's not live.
It's what we miss, that we don't go into the studio.
Now that we're not going into the studio, but I still just love the fact of radio, and I don't want that to go away. So I think it's still amazing that we're not just a podcast. We're also a radio show broadcast on the FM dial.
And Radio Western is so great to us. They've given us this platform, and, you know, it's getting us on the airwaves, and we appreciate their support. Right.
And the use of the great studio. So, you know, so that part is good too.
But it's amazing. The studio Brian can create in his apartment also. So
okay.
Making it work.
I'm so looking forward, as I was talking to Brian before, we started recording, I was, you know, when we move, you know, the office that I have right now, the office that I have is like 5x5, and it doubles as a closet, hence the name Studio C. You know, when we move, I'm going to have, you know, maybe 10 by 10, 12 by 12, something like that. So, I'll have the proper setup with, you know, like I said, the boards and everything else where, you know, I can hopefully sound a little better and maybe do more with video and things like that. Again, you know, you talk about doing video and not having much vision. It's, you know, just like
it's difficult
about
to have a YouTube channel or something would be more difficult. I've had that thought too, but I would need more help on that or training.
Right.
I like to see that audio, but
right. And said, you know, I think once it's set up, I think it's probably good. It's the fact that if you had to go back and edit it, that's when it would become tricky. But
we wanted to videotape our 1 year episode there that you referred to, just so that sighted people could see an image of blind people in the studio with the equipment, working the equipment, and just to have a presence and something special to do for our 1 year anniversary. So we're almost hitting our 2 years here.
Right. Coming up in a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah. So we're going to be sharing that video around again.
So thank you for
focusing on that. That's, and it's great that, you know, that you have been doing it for so long. And I'm guessing you said in that episode, you said it was your 41st or 40th episode. So did you take off, like, when school was closed, did you not do it? Did you have off for the summer? How did that work?
No, I mean, since the station officially closed at the end of March, or at least there was a couple people that were still allowed to get in there, obviously the manager and stuff like that. The radio can't just totally go off the air when it has a license.
I'm glad.
At the end of March, that all kind of happened. And right away, you know, even in the past, I think a couple times when I was away, I sent in one of my music shows and we did that actually with a couple Outlook shows as well in the past. So right away they were like, yeah, we can program this all remotely in our system. So we didn't end up really taking,
we take a week off here and there.
But yeah, every now and again, a week comes off and we play a repeat. But yeah, I think today we just recorded our 80th episode. So
we're coming
along here.
Yeah, that's great. And that's I was just curious because I, with the exception of missing 1 week, you know, 3 or 4 months in because I was traveling, you know, I've put one out every week. And and it's been kind of funny for me to see how some people record so much into the future, that I was listening to something and I actually stopped. I stopped subscribing to it because it was so outdated. The show was recorded in December. Mm-hmm. And I thought, hey, you're just putting this out now. Why were you sitting on this?
I definitely like to keep up to date the best I can. I mean, 1 week they played the wrong show by mistake and we got delayed a week. But generally speaking, I do like to record and then play this show as soon as possible. Now that we have to do it at home and we can't do it live.
Get our guests excited at the time.
Because that,
to stay current.
That defeats the whole purpose of live radio if you're
sending
in a recording from a month ago.
It's quite the combination of things we're doing.
Yeah, because that's, you know, one of the things everybody told me at the beginning, oh yeah, you've got a batch record. And I'm like, I don't want a batch record because I want it to be, I want it to be fresh. And, you know, it's based on, you know, things that have happened in my life, whether it's traveling or whether it's going to, you know, I did go to a Flyers game this year. I did go to a 76ers game this year. You know, it was based on those things. And, you know, if I talk about that, you know, and the game was in January and I'm putting it out in March, it just doesn't seem right. And even this, you know, this we're recording on Thursday, I think it's the 27th, you know, this will be out next Thursday because I released episode 89 today. This will be episode 90 coming out next Thursday. So, you know, I was just curious, like I said, because I usually don't do replays and there's been once or twice where I've recorded far enough in advance and, you know, scheduled it to, you know, to drop, you know, while I was away or, you know, traveling or whatever. You know, I was just, like I said, just curious about that. So, to wrap things up, where do you see, the show going and, you know, what are some future plans you guys have?
Well, it was just, we actually got quite a bit of media attention right off the bat last year, which made it difficult because you're always, it's like when somebody gives you a birthday present and then every year they feel like they have to top the last present, right? And if you know somebody for 30, 50 years, that's, that gets really complicated.
Right.
So if you still want to put the same passion into something because you care about it or them. So we want to keep creating, have material to stay current, like you said, with their topics. And yeah, I don't know. Right. I guess, like I said, the media attention led us to like, what now? So then our 1 year anniversary, we did the YouTube video release and now we are interviewing more people.
Okay. Yeah. I do think for sure that, the interviewing part, which like I said, the first while, which was good since it was our new show, that it was just Carrie and I for a lot of it.
And it was a half hour show at first.
It was a lot shorter. And yeah, it was just the two of us. And you do need that every now and again, especially if it's a new listener who doesn't know part
of the show is our you know relationship, our connection as siblings, and our you know outlook, obviously. So we like to have a mix, but we're getting better and we're liking the interviews because
I think it
makes you connect, you find people that way.
Yeah, the more interviews, and like Carrie was talking about the cross promotion, where the more interviews you end up doing and then you make those connections and that person listens and shares it with their networks, and then eventually you can collaborate where, you know, if someone comes on ours, we go on their show or whatever, and we start to really branch out. So I think the main thing is to continue to get guests just to spread the word. And I think the main thing with it too is just keep at it. It's not going to be, you're going to have a couple months here where you get a lot of reaction and a lot of feedback, and then you might go
have a Mother's Day episode with our mother from last May that got a lot of listens, and we were, you know, comparing it to other shows that didn't, and you start to compare yourself, which just, you know, impedes your progress, I think. So
right.
Trying to just look ahead and focus on, I'd like to see maybe eventually changing to another platform again.
Yeah, I guess that's the ultimate life goal would be
the CBC here in Canada.
Get on the CBC or some national network. Where
we think they should have a show about disability because people think it doesn't concern them. Yes, try and think again. If it doesn't now, it will.
Right.
People don't like to think about it, but we try to have funny, you know, lighthearted topics also. You don't want it always to be so dark and intimidating.
Right.
But you got to make it realize that everybody, it impacts everybody. They got to maybe.
Yeah, well, for your listeners, our newest episode that'll be out this coming Monday, which I guess is the 31st of August.
Okay.
That's a very inspiring episode. So
very motivating.
Very motivating. It's one of the positive ones where we're talking about all these negative things about bike lanes and inaccessibility.
Pandemics.
It's nice to break it up with something that shows a bright future and that there is hope out there. So
people are doing cool things.
Right. And that's, you know, that's so important too. And I don't think a lot of people realize, sighted people, you know, some things that get developed for folks that can't see or that use a wheelchair, some things that get developed end up becoming mainstream. For example, the, again, not sure about, you know, your cable TV in Canada, but you know, they developed the voice remotes here, that make it easier for blind folks to surf the channels on their cable system. You know,
but
now
the iPhone,
of course,
had Siri. So right. Everybody was talking into their phones.
Right. And you know, so it's, a lot of things that get developed for a specific disability end up, some of them at least, end up becoming, mainstream that everybody uses. So, so it's just interesting that folks think about that. I do know that I saw that you're on Apple Podcasts and actually subscribed the other day. So,
thank you.
And again, it's so nice to hear, so similar philosophies on our shows to, let sighted folks see what blind folks are like. And hey, I know you maybe never saw one in your life, but here's what we are and here's what we do, and we can do things. And where are the best places to connect with you guys?
Yeah, so we're, as you mentioned,
radio, and I do the social media.
As you mentioned, we're on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Spotify, and I'm looking to subscribe to other podcast services. I just finally started with those two. We're hosted on SoundCloud as well, and all of these places. If you want to find us, you search for Outlook on Radio Western. So, any of the podcast services I mentioned, Outlook on Radio Western, and SoundCloud.com/Outlook on Radio Western, and email is outlookonradiowestern@gmail.com.
Yeah, we're always looking for people if they have an interesting subject they want us to cover, if they're curious about, if they're from the USA and they want to know what's happening in Canada, or, make connections, please email us there. But we do have a social media. So we're on Facebook, facebook.com/outlookonradiowestern. But on Twitter, we are Twitter at @outlookcfb.
Okay.
So yeah, those are the main ones to find us there.
Okay. Carrie and Brian, I really appreciate the time today. It was nice speaking with you. And I have to tell you, you're my first international guest. And so you have that distinction. And I have to tell you, I'm in a fantasy football league with a bunch of other blind folks. And the guy that has won the league three out of the four years is based in Montreal. So kind of weird, but he knows what he's doing.
There's always connections somewhere, and you never know.
And I thought he was going to be my first, and I talked to him back in February, and we just didn't make the connection.
Yeah, that happens with us too.
So,
we'd love to do a cross promotion sometime and have you on our show too.
Oh, that'd be a lot of fun.
Stuff in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. And yeah.
Carrie and Brian, again, I appreciate the time today. Thanks for coming on.
We appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again to Carrie and Brian for coming on. I will have all the links in the show notes to where you can listen live, where you can listen on their podcast, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, as well as a video that they put out after for their 1 year anniversary. And that is pretty cool to watch that. And speaking of a show notes page, I will also have a link to help Max Ivey get some votes, and I'd appreciate it if you clicked on that and voted for him. He is trying to gain some votes for his new book, which we talked about a couple of episodes ago, so that will be in the show notes page as well. Also in the show notes page is a link to the Believe You Can 2020 talent show, which this year is virtual, obviously. But I'd appreciate it if you go to believeyoucan.live and purchase the ticket. Individual tickets are only $10. You could also buy a watch party ticket for $25. And those proceeds benefit the Keystone Chapter of the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania. And we hope to have this every year. Obviously, in upcoming years, we hope to actually have it on a stage somewhere. But this year, it is going to be virtual via Zoom. And again, believeyoucan.live. And I thank you for going there and purchasing a ticket in advance. It's greatly appreciated. It's in trouble this year raising funds for our Keystone Chapter. Not that the talent show is all about that, but the more people that watch can then vote on who wins the valuable cash prizes. I will not be singing on it, so don't worry. I do appreciate you listening to this episode, the I Love Liz episode of the I Can't See You podcast. Please reach out to me, icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. or 646-926-6350 with questions, comments, show ideas, and whatnot. Thanks again for listening. Stay safe. That is, stay safe and be well. And I'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast. Follow David on Twitter. He is at David Benj.